This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Connecticut's very own state librarian, Deborah Schonder, is with me this week on Spotlight Connecticut. And for the rest of the hour, we're going to be talking about how Connecticut is getting ready for the semi-quincentennial. Now, I know that this is a year away, but there's a lot of effort, a lot of prep that goes into preserving a moment like that, preparing for something so iconic, and taking a moment to look back on 250 years. Maybe in the greater scheme of things, you know, you look at some other countries that have been in existence far, far longer than that. But in 250 years, we've accomplished a lot and as a nation have saved a lot thanks to places like the Connecticut State Library. Deborah, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Morgan. So good to talk with you.
So happy to talk with you. And, you know, I got to tell you, as I was telling you during the break, I had the opportunity to do some research with you guys a few years ago, and I kind of knew that you guys existed, which is obviously how I ended up there. But until I saw it, until I looked at the collections that you guys have and the very competent staff and the quick staff that can help people with things, until I experienced it firsthand, I guess I didn't appreciate it as much. And now I'm an advocate and I tell people about the library, but you're here now. So why don't you tell our audience, people who may not know what this library is, what is it? How do people get there? Tell me a little bit of the basics about it.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for the kind words about the staff and the collections. We have such an amazing resource in both the staff and in the collection. So any chance I get to talk about it, I'm happy to do it. But just to give your listeners a little bit of an idea, we are an executive branch agency. So in the same way that there's a Department of Transportation or Department of Education, we are the agency who's tasked with essentially preserving our state's history, our records, and making sure that they're accessible and usable by our citizens. And that could be somebody who's coming in to do family research, somebody who's coming in to look at old maps that were created about their town. It could be somebody who's doing all kinds of different things. And so we are located right downtown in Hartford. We're actually directly across the street from the Capitol building in the State Library and Supreme Court building. And that was opened in 1910. It was always intended to be this shared space. And so we're actually one of the few state institutions that actually has two branches of government in one facility. And when you come into this building, it's just this beautiful Beaux-Arts style building. It was inspired by the World's Fair in Chicago in the late 1800s. And when you come in, the first thing, if you walk straight in, you're going to see the Museum of Connecticut History, and that's one of our units. And so you can come in and you can see the governors, you can learn about our state's history in a lot of different ways. You can see some of our founding documents, like the originals of the documents are there. And then you can also, if you want to, you can visit the library. So we are, in addition to being the State History Museum, we're also the State Archives. We oversee public records for towns and municipalities in the state. But we're also a fully operational reference library. So like you said, people can come in and they can do their history research with us. They can look at the records of our state. We have a law library, a lot of different things. And then we also have something called the Division of Library Development, which works to enhance other libraries in the state as well, whether that's public library, academic, et cetera. So we actually are quite broad in terms of the work that we do, much more than even state libraries in other states. But from my part, I think that's one of the neatest things about the job is getting to do so many different things and touch the lives of citizens in so many different ways.
Before we come up on the break, which will be here in a moment, we're going to be spending a lot of our conversation later on in the hour talking about the Revolutionary War, and we seem so disconnected from that era just because it was so far back and there's nobody alive who was there for it. But at the library, you guys have a lot from Connecticut, 1776 and before. It blows my mind.
Yes, and that's one of the, because we were one of the 13 original colonies, we actually have about 400 years of records from when we started coming to the land of Connecticut. And so people don't realize how much history there is there. And even in terms of the big collections that we have, you talk about how much we have, we actually preserve a fairly small portion of it that's considered to be something to keep forever. But it's quite vast and interesting.
We just had the 4th of July last week, and here we are talking about the 4th of July next year. You might be saying, Morgan, you're getting ahead of yourself, but no, I'm not. As a matter of fact, it's good, as I found out with WTIC's centennial earlier this year, the more you work toward it, the more time you put toward it, soon as possible. I started working on that 4 years ago, if you can imagine that. Maybe a little bit longer, even. But the more time you put into it, the better it's going to be. The more you will learn, the more you will find. And that is what the Connecticut State Library is doing, because they want people to know about America's role in the founding of our country. And they have worked very hard over the last 250 years, the state of Connecticut has, to preserve documentation and, in more recent years, of course, video and other kinds of media as we have progressed as a people and as a country. So I'm very excited that State Librarian Deborah Shonder is my guest this week on Spotlight Connecticut. Deborah, we were talking before the break a little bit about the library, but now I want to shift the conversation to talk about what you guys are doing now to prepare for that big moment next year, America's 250th. What are you guys up to?
And I think it's a lot of what you were saying. It takes a lot of preparation. So even though it's a year away, we're actually several years into our own planning as well. There is a statewide commission called the America 250 Connecticut Commission that was developed by Governor Lamont back in 2021. And so there is a commission, not just the State Library, but many different entities across the state working on this. And then within the State Library itself, the biggest thing that we are doing is in the Museum of Connecticut History, we're actually planning a large-scale exhibit. And as far as we know, this is the only sort of statewide focus on the role of Connecticut in the Revolution. So whether that's how Connecticut was impacted by the events of the Revolutionary War or how it impacted them. How did we get the name, the Provision State, for example? It comes from the Revolutionary War. And so thanks to a grant from Connecticut Humanities and our operating funds, our team internally has actually spent the last year working on an exhibit plan. So people come in and they visit a museum, but they may not realize how much work goes into the actual planning of it. So it's what are the colors going to look like? Is it going to have a logo? What documents and objects from your collection are you going to highlight? What stories do they tell? Or maybe what stories don't they tell and why is that significant? How is it going to be laid out and arranged in your physical space? Are you trying to send people through on a particular path through the exhibit, for example? So all of those are things that the team has been working on for the last year or so, and we're actually sort of shifting into the phase in which we're actually going to start building the exhibit. We're going to start pulling all those documents really writing all of the text that you read on each of the display cases and things like that. So even though it's a year away, we've still got a lot to do. But our intention is to have the exhibit open on July 4 or by July 4, 2026. It's a Saturday, just letting everybody know. But the hope is that by the time we had hit that semi-quincentennial date itself, you'll be able to come in. And then our intention is to have the exhibit on display for a year following. So when you're once you're done with your fireworks and whatnot on July 4, come and see the exhibit.
What are people going to see? Like, is there anything in particular that you know at this point in time you guys are going to pull and put out for people to check out?
Yes. So the big one that I think people will be excited to come and see is we have in the State Library's collection Connecticut's copy of the original first printing of the Declaration. So it's not the one that was handwritten, but it was something that was printed and shared with all of the colonies in order for them to have a copy of the text of the Declaration. And
wow.
It has John Hancock's signature on it, and it's just as big as it is on the original document, so you can see it. And then it was, the interesting thing about it is not just that it's Connecticut's copy, but who actually did the printing. So the document that we have is called a Goddard Broadside, and the reason for that, it was printed by a woman who was named Mary Catherine Goddard, and she was a printer living in Baltimore at the time. So one, the fact that it was a woman doing this is really cool. But actually, even though she was living in Baltimore at the time, she was born in Connecticut. So a Connecticut woman doing this on behalf of the entire country is just an amazing story. So that one's definitely going to be one of the highlights, but we'll have lots of other stuff too.
That's absolutely moving. Now, the question that I have naturally is about preservation. Those documents are so fragile. They're fragile to light, they're fragile to handle, they're fragile to the wind, right? Things that you wouldn't consider, okay, here's a paper. I'm holding a paper right now that I printed earlier this morning, okay?
Yeah.
You know, who cares about that if I'm handling it or if the wind touches it? But that could destroy something like that. So how do you keep it safe?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. Let me give you an example of another document that we recently conserved. So also in our collection is the Royal Charter of 1662. So that's a document that is many centuries old at this point, and it has been in Connecticut's possession since that time, and it has been on public display for most of that time. So like you said, and people weren't treating it as a precious document for much of that time. It was just a document. And so people's finger oil, light, the gravity of having it standing vertically, for example, all of those things do damage to the document. And so one of the projects that we underwent at the State Library recently is we sent it off to a conservation center for conservation and treatment. And so an expert in document conservation spent about 6 months going over the document. They were trying to remove dust. They were trying to repair damage to it, trying to flatten it out where it had wrinkled because it had been wetted at some point. We know from records that someone, as it was fading over time, at the time someone thought it would be a good idea to write over the original text.
Oh, no.
Make it more legible again.
No.
So, yeah, there's all these things that at the time they were, I'm sure, good ideas, but in hindsight, they don't really match up with our ideas of good practices today. And so our conservator, Katie Boodle, from the Northeastern Document Conservation Center, like I said, spent 6 months kind of very skillfully and carefully working on that document. And then one of the things that we did is we made the decision that it is no longer on day-to-day display. It had been in the State Library for many years, within the Secretary of State's office and the old State House before that. But we did that in order to preserve it for future generations. So when you come to the museum now, you see a very high-resolution replica. If you didn't know it wasn't the original, you wouldn't know it wasn't the original. But we have the original safely secured off location, and then we'll bring it out for special occasions. There will definitely be chances to see it in the future, but it means that it will last longer. It will be more available for people in the future. So those are the things that we have to think about. So the Goddard Broadside, we need to do it for that. We have other documents in our collection that need similar treatment too. So that's part of the work that we do as well.
It's 2025. The 21st century is here, alive and well. We're talking about artificial intelligence, for crying out loud. We've got flying cars, right? But one thing that we didn't have back in like 1825 was what we have today, the technology that we have today. In other words, what I'm getting at, Deborah, and I'm speaking with the state librarian, Deborah Shonder.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Is the ability to view media online, to share documents online. For people who are interested in the Connecticut Library, maybe you don't have to make an in-person trip. You guys, I'm sure, would love to have people there, but you don't have to necessarily for everything, I would imagine. So how do you guys weigh and balance digitizing media from yesteryear so that it's preserved, number one, but also easily accessible in digital format?
Yeah, no, I think it's a really good question because I think people have gotten used to being able to pull things up online, do research from their pajamas, all of those things. And so we are very conscious of that. And so one of the things that we've done at the State Library to stay innovative and responsive to that is we have recently kind of merged a couple of our existing departments. And so we now have a formal digitization unit. And their work is really to think about and answer those questions. What parts of our collections, whether that's the library collections, the archive collections, the museum collections, that could be digitized and made accessible for people? And that may be, we have a couple of scanners on site. So we do scanning, we add metadata to those documents, and what that means is it's a way to describe the document, the information that you're searching for. Be like, you know, think about the really terrible file names that you give to your own documents. You know, you have to have something that's meaningful when people are doing research. So it's not just the scanning it, but it's making it accessible in a meaningful way to a researcher. And so they do a lot of that work. And they think about those questions like, you know, we may decide that we want to conserve documents that we are requested, that are requested of us more frequently. So what are the records that people ask for more, rather than the ones that are in our collection that are important, but somebody hasn't asked about them in a while. So we definitely do prioritize and think about it in a lot of different ways. We take suggestions. We're always do those things as well. But It's balancing. It's balancing the staff time, the cost, and the resources.
That's a big one.
Yeah, people don't realize how expensive it is to do that, how time-consuming it can be in order to do it right, particularly if you're dealing with those very sensitive documents. So you have to be wearing gloves, for example, or you have to be very careful with them, be careful of the lighting in the room. So it's not just, unfortunately, slapping it on a scanner and having it up online, but really careful staff members who have experience to kind of work on that for us.
The 250th anniversary of the semi-quincentennial next year, will there be an online component?
That is the intention, yes. So our plan is to have an online aspect to the museum. And then we also have research guides online that we're actually developing right now. So materials within our collections that maybe are from the archives or from the library collections that aren't going to be on display. We have information about those on our website, and we'll be continuing to add to them. Yep.
The road to 250 years of America and Connecticut's role in that. Deborah Schonder is my guest. She is the state librarian at the Connecticut State Library, which is in downtown Hartford, an incredible resource, and they are working to preserve America's Revolutionary War history and put it on display, teach you about it, in time for the semi-quincentennial next year, July 4th, 2026. Now, I know, Deborah, it's very hard to think that far ahead, isn't it? Because we've got to get through today first.
Right? Exactly.
But yet you guys are working on that diligent project, big project. Why do libraries and museums matter, right? Because we're able to enjoy history from our foundation as a state, as a country, because of the work that you guys do.
And I think you've actually kind of answered the question yourself a little bit. Like, you know, in the time I've been a librarian, I have heard that so many times. Like, why do we need libraries today? Everything's online. Why do we need museums? I can have Wikipedia. I can get all of this information elsewhere. And I think what people are losing sight of or not thinking about is it's not just about the specific resources that those institutions can provide, but it's really the why behind it. Why are we preserving these things? Why are we making these this information accessible? Why are we telling stories through our museum exhibits? And I think there's a couple of different answers, but really for me, it's, you know, libraries and museums are that safe place where you can have a civil conversation about a difficult topic. You can learn about other people. You can learn about stories that may be difficult to understand or just are very different from your own experience in life. And it's a place where you can go and learn about it. You can talk about it. You know, they have resources and information for everyone that you can go in and do. And so it's, you know, that deeper question about helping us understand our place in history and our role in the way that we all have contributed. So that's definitely one of those reasons. It's a chance to look through the perspective of other people. I think that's really important. And then it's also just a recognition of us as a community, as a government institution that is recognizing the importance of the collective, not just the individual. So we're putting resources into something that makes us better as a group, not just as individuals. And there are very few, I think, institutions that really do that in the same way that libraries and museums can and do and have for so long. They are these trusted institutions that we really don't see elsewhere. And so it's a special thing that really should be preserved.
Of course, the work that you guys are doing is very good, it's solid, and it's a terrific and rewarding effort, but there's only so much that you can do. And every single town in Connecticut, doesn't matter if it's Greenwich, Grevenordale, Salisbury, Sonnington, or somewhere in between the four quarters of our state, every single city or town in Connecticut is participating in this America 250 effort by preserving local history and elevating it up to the larger state level. Are you partnering with any of the smaller towns or bigger cities across Connecticut in this work that you're doing?
Yeah, that is a great question. So at the State Library in our exhibit, we definitely have intentions of cooperating and coordinating with other historical societies and museums across the state. We're hoping to borrow some of their objects, potentially lend them some of ours. But if somebody is interested in getting involved locally, I would recommend taking a look at the website ct250.org, so Connecticut250.org. And that is where the commission has information about all of the local groups that have been formed. We are still working on getting a couple of those in place, but that's where you can learn about what's happening at your local community, what the plans are for the commemoration. It's just a really great resource for getting involved.
Deborah, we are just out of time, but there's enough time left for you to tell us once more how people can find the library, whether it's in person or online.
Absolutely. So in person, we are located at 231 Capitol Avenue in downtown Hartford. So head to the Capitol, and we are right across the street. And if you want to visit us online, we're part of the Connecticut portal. So it is portal.ct.gov/CSL. So Connecticut State Library, portal.ct.gov/CSL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.